الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected mothers and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we were discussing some aspects on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had commenced the four hadiths which Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayhi had mentioned are sufficient for a person's deen. We have been expounding on these four hadiths, and the reason for us giving so many details is that these ahadiths are extremely important for us to understand, practice upon and emulate. The first hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the intention, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, that actions are judged upon intentions, and every person will receive exactly what his intention is. In the second hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about staying away from things that have got no benefit. Min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Part of the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves out all those things which have got no benefit. Things that have got no benefit in our deen, they have got no benefit in our dunya, they are consuming our time, they are wasting our time. We stay away from those things. This is a sign of a person being a good Muslim and the quality of his Islam being of a high and beautiful quality. The third hadith, which we had commenced in our last session and we also spoke about, the narration of Hazrat Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala an, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, that halal is clear and haram is clear, and between them too there are certain doubtful areas, there are great grey areas that many people do not know about. That person who saves himself from the doubtful areas, the grey areas, then he will protect and preserve his deen, and he will protect and preserve his honor and respect. And the person who falls into the doubtful areas, then very soon he will fall into haram. Unfortunately, nowadays we are living in a time wherein there is a lot of deception. So certain things need to be explained, certain things need to be understood very well. You get certain terms now that are used as a deception. For example, very often you will see an outlet, a restaurant, wherein it is written halal friendly. Remember, halal friendly is no friend of halal. People get deceived when they see these advertisements, when they see these logos, halal friendly. But halal friendly, there is no such a thing as halal friendly. Either something is permissible, it is halal, or either it is haram. When you say halal friendly, what you are saying in essence, it means that it has been unable to meet the requirements of halal. A facility that uses halal and haram, so it uses both things together, now they are calling themselves halal friendly. The motive is purely commercial gain. There are large amount of Muslims that will purchase food from these outlets, or they will go to eat in these outlets, and that is a means of commercial gain for the outlet. So that is why it has now put up a sign of halal friendly. This is an upfront precautionary disclaimer. So if you bring something to their attention and you tell them that this is something that is wrong in your restaurant, in your outlet, then they will tell you, we did not say it is halal, we only said it is halal friendly. Now experience will show that you have outlets like this that are frying eggs on the same griddle as bacon. Or they're using the same knife to cut a cheese sandwich and a ham sandwich. So this is something that is extremely dangerous, because this is now contamination. This is where you get the contamination coming about. And when this contamination comes about, we're going to eat that food, then we understand that that's going to affect our deen, it's going to affect our spirituality, it's going to affect the quality of our ibadat, it's going to affect the relationship we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we should not be fooled by these types of outlets. Halal friendly is anything but friendly. It is something that it's not halal, it is something that is deceptive. So this is one deceptive type of a marketing strategy that is being used nowadays. Another thing that people get deceived with is vegan. So vegan doesn't necessarily mean halal. Vegan, which normally refers to something being vegetarian. So remember, when they speak about vegetarian, then wine is also considered to be vegetarian. Wine is considered to be vegetarian. Such claims of vegetarian, first of all, are not verified by any reliable body. So just merely by seeing a vegan sign doesn't mean something is halal. Then you get kosher. So this is also something that many people get deceived with when they see kosher and they think to themselves that since the Jews allow it, according to the Jewish law, you can consume this, and Jews are particular, so we can also consume this. So we have to understand that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Jews would slaughter animals, then they would take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nowadays in the abattoirs, they are slaughtering animals without taking the name of Allah, without taking the name of the Almighty. Similarly, according to the Jewish laws, certain intoxicating beverages such as beers and rum are considered kosher. Cheese made with enzymes of pork origin are sometimes considered kosher according to some of their organizations. Jewish law permits the use of pork bristle brushes. Sometimes a person is going to have coffee in a place, and you think to yourself, this is only coffee, not realizing that the brushes that are being used to clean the coffee machine is made of pork bristles. So that's why we have to be very careful and very particular and see that we are always going to outlets which are owned by Muslims, people who are upright, people who are pious. So they will generally be careful of all these different aspects. So just merely by kosher being written on any product, it doesn't mean now that that product is completely halal. Kosher is different and halal is different. So someone had requested that we clarify all these different points. That is why we had taken out this time under this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had warned us that there's going to be a lot of things of doubt. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Halal is clear and haram is clear, but in between them there are certain doubtful areas, certain grey areas. We need to be very careful, save ourselves, protect our children, protect our families. Remember, if we want barakah in our homes, if we want noor and light in our hearts, we have to be careful of what we eat. Certain pious people, when they would eat certain things of doubtful nature, immediately they will see that there's no barakah in their lives. Immediately they will see that there's no noor in their lives. That noor that they had in the ibadat, that concentration, that devotion that they had in the ibadat, now they're finding it difficult to even wake up at the time of Fajr namaz, whereas those pious people were waking up for tahajjud. So immediately they will feel that this impacts on their lives, it impacts on their ibadat. And when we eat food that is completely halal and of a permissible nature, then we will find that noor and barakah in our lives. We'll find that motivation within ourselves. One of the reasons why we lose our motivation and drive towards doing good is that we are not particular of eating that which is halal and that which is wholesome. And remember, when we're eating halal, then the Quran Sharif also speaks about wholesome. Quran Sharif speaks about halal and tayyiba. Look for food that is halal and wholesome. And inshallah, if we eat that which is halal and wholesome, then this will definitely be a means of our goodness in this world. This will be a means of goodness in this world, and it will be a means of our salvation in the year after. The last hadith of Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, wherein he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. That one of you can never be a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. This is another outstanding quality in the lives of true believers. They always love for others what they love for their own selves. What they love for their children, what they love for their families, what they love for their friends, they love for others. Every believer in this world is our Muslim brother or our Muslim sister. Remember, as believers, we are one body. Believers, we have to be united. We are like one structure. We are like one body. And we should always wish good for others. And when we wish good for others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with goodness. But when we wish evil for others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that goodness out of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that happiness out of our lives. Unfortunately, nowadays, many people have become victims of hasad and jealousy. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had warned his ummah against jealousy, that stay away from jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبِ. That verily jealousy eats good deeds like the fire will consume firewood. How the fire will destroy and burn the firewood. So similarly, jealousy will eat our good deeds. Imagine a person is doing so many good deeds. Person is making ibadat, keeping roza, reading namaz, going for hajj, going for umrah, making zikr, making tilawat. But because of jealousy, we find that this jealousy will destroy the good deeds. It will destroy our rewards. It will destroy the nur within our lives. Jealousy will take away the happiness. A jealous person is always frustrated. He's always unhappy. He's always uneasy because he's jealous. So this jealousy is something that will destroy our health also. It will destroy us from within. That is why Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us against jealousy. Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dabba ilaykum da'ul umami qablakum, that the spiritual sickness and malady of the previous ummats has crept to you. Al-hasadu wal-baghada, jealousy and hatred. La akulu hiya al-haliqa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is something that will completely destroy one. It will, the word halq literally translates as to shave. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La aqulu tahliqu shar. I do not say that it will shave your hair and remove your hair. Walakin tahliqu deen. But this is something that will shave your deen. It is something that will destroy your deen. So we should always wish well for others and make dua for others. When we make dua for others, then the farishtas make dua for us. As we're making dua for other people, the farishtas are also making dua. Walaka bimithal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the same. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bless you with what you are asking for your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister. So this is the dictates of complete and perfect iman. A person can read all the namaz he wants to read. He can do all the ibadat he wants to do. He can make zikr. He can give big bayans. He can do everything. But Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yu'minu ahadukum. One of you will never be a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for his own self. That is a sign of perfection in iman, that we love for others what we love for our own selves. We love for their children what we love for our children. We make dua for them like we make dua for ourselves. And when they are in any distress, when they are in any difficulty, then we also try to assist them in whichever way possible. It must never be that we are happy with the distress of another person. It must never be that we hear a person falling into a calamity, even though he may be our worst enemy. But if he is a believer, and if he falls into a calamity, then we should also feel within our hearts that we should feel some sort of sorrow and pity for the person and make dua for him and try to assist him wherever it is possible. Ulama mentioned, if a person at any point has to feel some jealousy in his heart towards someone, then what to do to remove that jealousy? So first of all, remember, making salam creates muhabbat and love. In the hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not show you something that if you do this here, then it will generate muhabbat and love amongst you? أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread salam and make salam a common practice among yourselves. So this is one thing, that making salam is something that will generate muhabbat and create love, and it will remove all forms of ill feelings. It will remove the dirt from our hearts, ill feelings from our hearts, jealousy, malice, etc. Then giving gifts. Tahadu, tahabbu. The hadith says that you share gifts with one another. This will also generate muhabbat and love. So when we share gifts, when we exchange gifts, when we give gifts to one another, then this will also generate muhabbat and love, and it will remove all the ill feelings and all the jealousy from our hearts. Then also make dua for that person. So if we feel any jealousy towards any person, we make dua for that person. Inshallah, if we constantly do this, make salam to the person and give gifts to the person, make dua for the person, praise the person in his absence. Sometimes when we have got jealousy within our hearts, then we would talk bad about the person. We would look for opportunities and occasions for us to say things, negative things about them. So we should now change our mindset and look for good. Remember, when you look for good in people, you will find good in people. But when you look for evil, you will find evil. Every person has got some good qualities. So look for the person's good qualities and speak about his good qualities. Praise him. Slowly by doing this year, then inshallah, this will create that muhabbat and it will create that love within our hearts. And we will not have jealousy, we will not have animosity, we will not have hatred. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had advised Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Bunayya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya, wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin fafal. That, O my beloved son, if you are able to spend the morning and spend the night without any feelings in your heart towards anyone, then do so. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي. Verily, that is my sunnah. Unfortunately, nowadays we have only understood the sunnah to be the external sunnahs. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is my sunnah. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. And that person who loves my sunnah, then indeed he loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And that person who loves me, he will be with me in Jannah. Loving the Sunnah is the sign of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be a means of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. What greater gift can they be? What greater bounty can they be for this quality of not having hatred within our hearts, not having any ill feelings, not having hatred, always try to make excuses for people. If a person behaves in a certain manner, we rather make some excuse in our mind to say, maybe this person did this here because of some reason. Maybe he was going through a certain phase, a certain condition. That's why he behaved in this manner. Always look for excuses in our mind so that we don't have ill feelings. We do not have bad thoughts. We do not have animosity. We do not have hatred. So in this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. That one of you can never be a true believer, no matter whatever he tries to do, whatever ibadat he or she does, until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. This indeed is a very great quality. We love for others what we love for ourselves. Inshallah, this is a sign of our deen being perfect, our iman being complete. If our iman is complete, then there's success for us in this world and the year after. Alhamdulillah, these are the four hadiths that Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned that are sufficient for a person's deen. And inshallah, in our next session, we are going to start the famous kitab of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, which is known as the Arba'een of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi. Perhaps we will post a PDF copy of the book on the group, inshallah. But today, since we are passing through very Mubarak and blessed days, we intend to discuss some ahadith pertaining to these Mubarak and blessed days. Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Hujjaj today, they are in Arafat. And as we are sitting here and listening to this program, many of them are making dua. They are crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their hajj. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also include us within their duas. We must always ask people to make dua for us. And it is our good fortune if people make dua for us and we are included in their duas, because that is one of the things we need the most in this dunya. We need duas. Duas will carry us through. Duas will protect us in this life also. It will protect us after we pass away. We go into the qabr. Duas will also protect us there. For us, tomorrow will be the day of Arafah. We will obviously consider our dates that are here, and the virtues of Arafah will apply to us tomorrow. Yes, today also we can make dua, because this whole 10 days are Mubarak and blessed days. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding the day of Arafah, مَا رُؤِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَوْمًا هُوَ أَصْغَرُ وَلَا أَدْحَرُ وَلَا أَحْقَرُ وَلَا أَغْيَزُ مِنْهُ فِي يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِمَا يَرَوْا مِنْ تَنَزُّلِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَتَجَاوُزِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ الْإِظَامِ. That Shaitan has not been seen on any day wherein he is more disgraced, he is more rejected, and he is more despised, and he is more angry than the day of Arafah. Throughout the year, Shaitan becomes the most angry on the day of Arafah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, besides the day of Badr when Shaitan had seen the angels coming down to help the Muslims, then Shaitan became very, very angry and he felt very rejected. But besides the day of Badr, the day wherein Shaitan feels most humiliated, disgraced, rejected and angry is the day of Arafah. Why does Shaitan become so angry on the day of Arafah? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِمَا يَرَى مِنْ تَنَزُّلِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَتَجَاوُزِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ الْإِظَامِ. The only reason for that is because Shaitan sees the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending. Now we cannot see with our physical eyes the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed us that the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on these Mubarak days, and Shaitan is, he is visualizing, he, Shaitan is physically seeing it. He can see the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending. وَتَجَاوُزِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ الْإِظَامِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving major, major sins. So as though all Shaitan's efforts are gone to waste. Shaitan throughout the year, he makes so much of effort to get a person involved in sin. And he puts people into different forms of sins. But now it is the day of Arafah, and people are crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is removing all these sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obliterating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wiping away all these sins. So this really angers Shaitan. This makes Shaitan feel very, very rejected, and it makes Shaitan feel hopeless that he, all his efforts have all been destroyed. But what we understand is that these are the days for us to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the days for us to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the day of Arafah is the greatest day in the year. This is the most virtuous day in the year. It is a day for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make a lot of dua for ourselves, for our families, for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can fulfill our needs. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can make our ambitions a reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us from our fears, our phobias, our enemies, from all forms of evil. There's no one for us in life besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human beings have got limitations. People cannot do what you may require. They cannot fulfill our needs. That is why we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One very important act on the day of Arafah is the fast of the day of Arafah. So inshallah, if we were not fasting for the other days, let's make this intention that tomorrow, which is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah for us, the day of Arafah, let us make this intention that inshallah we will keep the fast. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. I have this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that through fasting on the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out the sins of the previous year, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out the sins of the coming year. So all the minor sins a person committed in the previous year, the past year, as well as the coming year, just by keeping this one roza, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out those sins. There is a narration of Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, wherein he says that كان يقال في أيام العشر بكل يوم ألف يوم. that in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they would speak among themselves and they would say that for these 9 days, first 9 days of Zulhijjah, for every day a person fasts, then he will get the reward of fasting for 1,000 days. And on the day of Arafah, Asharatu alafi yomin, 10,000 days. Fasting on this one day, we will get the reward of fasting for 10,000 days. So we should never ever miss out on this reward. We should never deprive ourselves of this reward. Let us try and fast on the day of Arafah, and inshallah, this will be a means of us gaining the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tremendously multiplying our rewards. Another aspect on the day of Arafah is that inshallah from tomorrow morning, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, Fajr, the takbir at tashriq will commence. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. The takbir at tashriq will be recited once. Females will recite it softly. Make sure that we put some note or something on our musallas so that we do not forget, because it is wajib for us to recite this takbir at tashriq. So it will start on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, that is tomorrow, right till the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah Asr, that is next week Tuesday. Next week Tuesday till Asr, 23 namazes. After every salah, we recite the takbir at tashriq. Remember, when we reciting the takbir at tashriq, recite it with that, with the meaning in our minds and the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our hearts. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. There is no deity but Allah, and Allah is the greatest, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this beautiful deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with countless bounties and favors. We need to always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be appreciative to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than the superpowers of the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than our fears and our phobias. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than our sins and our weaknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than our needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can fulfill all our needs without any difficulty. Just within a split second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can fulfill our needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than any sickness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cure any sickness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove any calamity. Remember, as much as we try to understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as much as we try to fathom the greatness of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than our imagination also. How much we can imagine, how much we can understand, how much we can fathom, far greater than that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot even understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read Allahu Akbar with this type of fervor, with this type of spirit, with this conviction, then remember, this will break the structures of batil. This is something now the forces of batil are working very hard. They are working around the clock to misguide us, mislead us, to harm the Muslims. So when we say Allahu Akbar in this manner, then this will actually, it will shake the structures of batil. And this is a means of us now crushing the different forces of batil, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. There's a physical world, there's the spiritual world. So we take the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we proclaim the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, but read it with the meanings in our minds, read it with the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, then inshallah, this will be a means of tremendous spiritual benefit for us. Regarding the day of Arafat, then there is a narration of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, wherein he says, كان أكثر دعاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم عرفة لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وَهُوَ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dua that he would make on the most on the day of Arafah, throughout the day of Arafah, one is that these are days of takbir, so we will read Allahu Akbar also, apart from after the namazes, we will make the third kalima, we will read the third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And this dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the most on the day of Arafah, La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity but Allah. Allah is alone. La sharika la, there is no partner for Him. Lahul mulk, to Him belongs sovereignty, kingdom. Walahul hamd, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do everything. So also let us try and recite this dua, even if we can just read one tasbih of it too at some time, but read it with devotion, read it with concentration, read it with sincerity. Then there is another narration of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, wherein Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala speaks about another dua, and he says that every day on the surface of this earth there are people who are emancipated from the fire of Jahannam. But there's no day wherein more people are emancipated from the fire of Jahannam than the day of Arafah. This is the day wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emancipating multitudes of people from the fire of Jahannam. We need to constantly make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipate us, Allah save us, Allah protect us, our families, our parents, our children, and all the Muslims throughout the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fire of Jahannam. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala would recommend a certain dua that we make on the day of Arafah, and he also would make this dua also a lot on the day of Arafah. Allahumma a'tiq raqabati minan nar. O Allah, emancipate my neck from the fire of Jahannam. Wa awsi'li minar riskil halal. And O Allah, give me abundance of halal sustenance. وَصْرِفْ عَنِّي فَسَقَتَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. And O Allah, you move away from me, make distant from me the rebellious jinnat and the rebellious humans. So in this dunya, there will always be evil elements. There will be evil jinnat, evil shayateen, and they are evil people. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all these evil elements far away from us. So once again, the dua that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala recommended, a very, very comprehensive, beautiful dua. It is a dua that we have to learn, we have to recite. Make this dua, Allahumma a'tiq raqabati minan nar. O Allah, emancipate my neck. That's the literal translation, meaning emancipate me from the fire of Jahannam. Wa awsi'li minar riskil halal. And give me in abundance halal rozi and halal sustenance. Always when we ask Allah Ta'ala for sustenance, ask Allah Ta'ala for halal sustenance, and Allah must give us barakah and blessings. Wasrif anni fasaqat al jinni wal ins. And make distant from me, turn away from me, divert from me the rebellious jinnat and insan. So let us also try to make this dua. Or tomorrow, frequently, we can also make dua today. We can start making the dua from now as well. Make dua, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ma yura yawmun akthara atiqan wala atiqatan min yawmi arafah. That there's no day wherein you will find more males and females emancipated from the fire of Jahannam than the day of Arafah. This is the day wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates most people, or a lot of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates them from the fire of Jahannam. But then the hadith says, like you get on the 15th of Shaban, a night wherein the rivers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat are flowing, certain people are not forgiven. So also this hadith speaks about a person, لا يغفر الله فيه لمختال. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day, Allah will not forgive a proud person. pride and arrogance are very, very destructive traits. And this pride and arrogance will surface in different ways. Sometimes we feel something about ourselves, we have airs of ourselves, we feel a superiority complex, we feel that we are greater than others. So this is pride and this is arrogance. And pride and arrogance is something that will destroy us in this world, and it will deprive us. It will deprive us of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will deprive us of the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us constantly try and remove this pride. And there's no person that can safely make a claim to say that he doesn't have pride. So that is why we constantly look at our own weaknesses. The Mashayikh tell us, look at our weaknesses and look at the good of others. In fact, some ulama mention that throughout life we should always keep two mirrors. In one mirror, we must look at our weaknesses. Now, although if we examine our salah, we will find even our salah is not of a very good quality. The type of salah we're supposed to be reading, we're not performing salah in that manner. Pious people of the past will always be afraid whether their good deeds are accepted. So even if they did good deeds, they never felt anything to themselves. They were worried, is this accepted in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? Maybe it is rejected. What if we go in the akhirat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that all your good deeds have been rejected? So always have this fear in our hearts. Always ponder over this. Look at our own weaknesses. Look at our faults. Worry about what's going to be our condition when we leave this world. We'll die with iman. We won't die with iman. And when it comes to other people, we look at the good that they have. Someone has got some good quality. Someone has got some good characteristic. As I mentioned, everyone has got some good in them. So we look in one mirror, we will see our weaknesses. And in the other mirror, we will see the good of others. And inshallah, in this way here, that pride will be removed from our hearts. We will start looking up to other people, and we will start admiring other people, that these people are good people, they have got good qualities, even if they have got some weaknesses. Everyone has got some weaknesses, but they have got these good qualities, and maybe because of this good qualities, they will get salvation in the year after. And inshallah, if we constantly think in this manner, think about what was our beginning, that we were created but with one drop of fluid, of impure fluid. This was the beginning of our creation. What will be the end of our condition? When we pass away, then we will have, it will be our corpse, it will be a dead body that will start giving out a bad smell, a bad odor. People would not even want to keep that dead body. The more we think and we reflect in this manner, think about all these different aspects, then inshallah the pride will be removed from our hearts, and there will be humility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the true understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the barakat of these Mubarak days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with an excellent Eid al-Adha. Allah accept all our ibadat, all our du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qurbani. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in this world and the year after. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا موافيا لنعمه مكافيا لمزيده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وجنوده ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي سوريا وفي كشمير وفي بورما وفي يمن وفي السودان وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك اللهم افتح لهم فتحا مبينا وانصرهم نصرا عزيزا اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم فك أسرانا وأسر المسلمين. اللهم أعتق رقابنا من النار وأوسع لنا من الرزق الحلال واصرف عنا فسقة الجن والإنس. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.